it'll be on the left column. Left column, second paragraph, where it says, V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. So Hashem says, I will become sanctified amidst, within the Jewish people. Chazal Pirshu, the Chachamim explained this to me, Limsur Atzmo Akdushas Hashem Yisbara, for a person to be prepared to give their life for a Kiddush Hashem. And that's V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Pirish, meaning Ikur HaKedusha Toch b'nei Yisrael Davka, that the main thrust of Kedusha is within, because it says b'soch b'nei Yisrael, is within the very beings of Klal Yisrael. Kamosha Kasuv Chazal, the Gemara says in Tainus, La'ula mira adam atzmo ki ilu kadosh shori b'soch me'ah. A person should always see themselves as if kadosh resides or lives within their innards. So there is this b'soch b'nei Yisrael, that Mesiras Nefesh comes really from within, from the Kedusha that's within.
You know where the Chazal is from?
It's a Gemara in Tainus. V'zos ha-Kedusha e'efshar lahargish rak b'mesiras nefesh. This Kedusha that's so deeply within Klal Yisrael can only be perceived and felt with mesiras nefesh. But remember, mesiras nefesh has two general meanings. One is to actually give one's life for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. The other is that when a person gives every ounce of energy and life that they have in their Avodas Hashem, they put their whole nefesh, their whole being, into what they're doing in Torah and Mitzvos, that's also called Mesiras Nefesh. That's living with Mesiras Nefesh every second. And one gives their life over to the Torah and the Avoda that they're doing. So he's saying that the only way to really feel that depth of inner Kedusha is through Mesiras Nefesh, the Gam, and also Lahachnis Atzmo Toch Klal Yisrael, for a person to always bring themselves into the general body of the Jewish people. V'gam al yidei habito leklal Yisrael yicholin limsor nafsha. By a person entirely giving themselves over to Klal Yisrael, they're also giving up their life. Kama shekasuv chazal, shehamitzvah ba'asora nikra toch. Ayin Shem, as the Chachamim said, that when you do this mitzvah with 10 people, that's called toch. That's interesting, because they learned the fact that you get a minyan, one of the words that's learned in I don't know if it's a Gezeres Shavah or a Hekesh, I don't remember, is Toch. That the word Toch tells you that there's a minyan there. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. And certainly in the laws of Kiddush Hashem, that whereas where it comes to Avodah Zorah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Damim, a person has to give their life no matter what. But for other mitzvos, if you're within a minyan, and the intent of the person who's threatening you, is to cause you to transgress the Torah, then one is obligated to give up their life as long as there is a minyan. So for example, if someone said to a Jew in private, and there's not 10 Jews there, if you don't break Shabbos, I'll kill you, we're obligated to break the Shabbos. But if that's amongst 10 Jews, and the kavana of the one who's threatening you is to make you transgress, you have to give up your life also. And that's called Toch. Right? So there's a certain Kedushas Klal Yisrael that is attained once you have the minimum number of the Tzibur, which is 10.
So we might talk about the Toch as being B'Toch as a Prat and B'Toch as a
Klal. I think that's what he's saying. It's within every Jew. There's that Kodosh, and then there's that Kedusha that's within 10 Jews. Now just to elaborate that, if the guy who's threatening you, let's say he says to a Jew, break Shabbos or I'll kill you, If his kavanah is for his own convenience, like he wants you to chop wood for him because he wants a fire, it has nothing to do with having you break Shabbos, then you don't give your life. It's only if there is a minyan and his kavanah is to make you transgress the Jewish religion.
You know, I just, the one problem I have with that is no one should be threatening anybody else. So that's a human life is very sacred.
Right.
So the point, even if there's no minyan, I mean, I cannot understand how anybody, you know, where do we get this idea?
A lot of wicked people out there.
I know there is, but, you know, I find it a little bit unsettling.
It is unsettling. It is unsettling.
Any human being.
Yeah, very unsettling.
You know, it's interesting because it seems to me that we talk about, like, the Yerida Hadoros amongst Kal Yisrael, because, you know, the generations being more from Asina and so on. But it's hard for us to imagine, it's hard for me to imagine Goyim specifically, like, oppressing Jews with the idea of having them be over on the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Because hard for imagine Goyim to know enough about the Torah to want to do that. But when we think historically, we see so many instances of Goyim specifically doing that.
Wanting to do
so
that.
It's interesting that you can sort of reflect on, like, we don't have Goyim like that anymore, you know, Goyim who know enough to oppress us in that way.
To give up the Torah. It's interesting because I know that the Jews in Syria right now are under a lot of duress, and I think that there are some sanctions specifically against Shmiras Hadas. And also Iran right now, of course, is really seriously, you know, being threatened. And although that has political connotations too, but I think that there's a drive there also, which is
kind of a traditional Muslim.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
certainly anti-Semitic, but that's for sure.
Is anti-Semitic the whole within
having you be over Al Hadas?
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't think so, because, well, maybe I should say I don't think so the other way around. Like, I could see somebody hating a Jew because they're Jewish, but they could care less whether or not they keep the Torah. Whereas, if they want us to break the Torah, of course that would be included in some form of anti-Semitism. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Yeah.
I was reading something yesterday about this case in Italy.
The two girls.
The two girls.
Right.
That cat. What the way the article was written is that it was casting it as a case of wanting to break their Yiddishkeit.
Mm-hmm.
So and mm-hmm. being enforced by the non-Jewish
right.
Italian courts. So.
Right.
And that was, you know, implied that even given the ideas we have of a certain amount of Western toleration and say regret for the past, that they were still intent on breaking.
Right. Right. I think that's why it became such an important case, you know, for Agudath Yisrael and also for worldwide Jewry, because it had that component to it. A governmental authorization of that.
Even though if we find it hard to believe, or hard to understand,
it creeps in.
That it's still...
Yeah.
Rabbi Wein in his tapes talks about a distinction between sort of the traditional anti-Semitism, which is fundamentally of a religious nature, and the more modern anti-Semitism, which kind of guards that traditional sort of spiritual aversion in a more virulent and ethnic
kind of,
and political
guys. Right. And also now in the modern world it takes on the guise of anti-Zionism.
Yeah.
Anti-Zionism is the catchphrase for anti-Semitism. Okay. So he says two things here. One is that a person can be margish, that kedusha from within through Mesiras Nefesh. And another way to perceive that Kedusha is by entering within Kedusha's Klal Yisrael. But this is really a mentality. It doesn't mean specifically at the moment of Mesiras Nefesh, but it's a mentality of a person having in mind that they are completely part of Am Yisrael. And I think great people have that mentality. They really see themselves as being completely within Klal Yisrael. Ki hanhagas tnei Yisrael lemala min hateva, because we know that the way the Jewish people are guided is over and above the laws of nature. Lachen bekoach bnei Yisrael la'asos neged hateva. Therefore, you see, it's within our power to do something which is against nature. Umemela hateva misbatel ba'avuram, and then teva itself can become nullified before us. Now, what he might mean is the teva of a human being to hold on to their life. It's keneged hateva for a person to give up their life. But once one is willing to do that and overcome teva in that way, then teva falls before us. As it says, I am Hashem who makes you holy, who takes you out of the land of Egypt. Lachen biyecholoseichem limsor nafshechem al kedusha shmi. So this, v'nikdashti b'sof b'nei Yisrael, in conjunction with Ani Hashem b'kadishchem, and because I'm making you holy, because I'm giving you this kedusha, it's therefore within your ability to be moser nefesh lishmi. Or is that something that's almost beyond what human nature would dictate? So when Hashem gives us kedusha, Ani Hashem mekadishchem, usually we think about that in terms of being holy people, he's saying it, that's also the ability to be moser nefesh. That pasuk, Ani Hashem mekadishchem, is what lets us know that we have the ability to give our life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gave us the Kedusha, now we can be Mekadosh his name. V'isa barashi v'toras kohanim.
I just want to ask a question on that. A recurring question. We see that amongst the Goyim, they have a capacity or a concept of Mar.
Right, there is, right.
And how do we understand that? Do we understand that as, in a certain sense, that they derive that from the fact that Bnei Yisrael have this koach of Mesiras Nefesh, and that they get it in a sense through us, or do they have like a separate concept of Mesiras Nefesh, or is it not Mesiras Nefesh? How do we understand it?
I don't know. I've thought about that before, you know, as to the similarities and the differences. It's certainly not Mesiras Nefesh in this context, Al Kiddush Hashem.
Right.
It's Mesiras Nefesh for some ideological or religious even value. We couldn't put it in this category. This has to do with being
Muslim,
a Jew. Pardon me?
When a Muslim dies for Allah?
Right.
He's not dying officially.
No. It is within the context of Islam, but it's not within this context. Because this has to do with Kedusha, and Kedusha is unique to Klal Yisrael. Right? Another nation could have ethics, morals, religion, but Kedusha is unique to Klal Yisrael. So you wouldn't have that idea of v'nikdashti. It could be a proclamation of the glory of God, you know, but not v'nikdashti. That's specific to a Jew.
What about some? I have two questions.
Please.
What about someone like Raoul Wallenberg, who died saving Jews? Isn't that Al Kiddush Hashem?
That is connected, and that's considered to be a very high madrega in Olam Haba, in Olam HaEmes, when a Gentile gives their life to save Jews. There's a Maaseh like that in the Gemara,
right,
and talks about the place of these two brothers, I think, which is very special in Olam Haba. And so that is connected to Kiddush Hashem, because it's connected to Kedushas Klal Yisrael.
Mm-hmm. The second question is, there was a woman who converted to Christianity and was killed because she was a Jew. She became a nun, she was a while.
Wait, you mean in the Holocaust?
Yeah, in the Holocaust, yeah. So did she die Al Kiddush Hashem, or did she die?
That's a very difficult question to answer. Difficult question to answer. I don't know.
The church wants to make her a saint.
This is the one they want to make a saint?
Oh dear.
I don't know. She's still a Jew, as we know, right? Jew who converts to another religion is still a Jew. It's also, certainly a meme. the full sense of the word. I don't know.
But she was killed because
she was
a Jew,
Jew,
not because she was a Christian.
Well, I mean, is she a mean in the full sense of the word? I mean, do we have...
Yeah, I mean, we don't have apikorsim anymore because everybody's a Tinok Shanishma and things like that. But when you really take on another religion, you know...
So, supposing, I mean, many Jews in Europe did that out of convenience, you know.
So this was out of conviction.
This was out of conviction.
One thing to take on another religion, but it's another to become a nun.
Well, also there's that, is he a bishop or a cardinal in France? The one in France? He's Jewish?
Yeah,
and he's very high up there in the hierarchy.
Well, there's many stories about Jewish popes.
Right. But anyway, Mark, I don't know. I don't know how to look at that.
You know,
in the bigger picture, she was killed because she was a Jew, so seemingly that's Kiddush Hashem, but did she already pull herself out of Kiddushas Klal Yisrael, of this?
Right.
Of this Besoch, you know, is she still Besoch? She's still a Jew, for sure. Is she Besoch? I don't know.
It's an interesting issue.
Well, this brings up another question, how do we... my reaction is it's very... so-called the Catholic canonization is to them it's a different idea. It's not Kiddush Hashem. It's the whole ideology, you know.
Right.
And it's just a bit foreign to me, considering the fact it is true that that you had the papacy. I see the word that had that Jewish ancestry trunk. My question is, what did we do? How did we fail? And why did they go to the other side? That's
well, some
good,
of that has
way
to
back
do
when.
With the war, you know. In these particular cases, you know, mm-hmm. with the Holocaust, some of that has to do with being raised by Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a chance, ask Rabbi Kolesky. Ask him what he thinks about that. Really, I'd really be interested to see what he has to say on that question. If you have a nun who is killed because she's a Jew, would that be considered a Kiddush Hashem? If you get a chance, ask him. I really would like to know what he has to say. Okay. The Isa Barashi, the Torah's Kohanim, it's also brought in Rashi and Torah's Kohanim. I think it's Teva Zeh, I'm not sure. Or maybe Turetz Zeh, Hotseisi Eschem. No. I'm not sure what that Rashi Teva is. Pirish Shekefi Ma Sho'adam Moser Nafsho La Hashem Yisbarach. According to the degree that a person gives over their nefesh, their very life to God, Kach misbatel hateva ba'avura. So also the teva of the world becomes nullified before them. Uma'orer nisei yitzias Mitzrayim. And a person then awakens the miracles of yitzias Mitzrayim. That's a fascinating thing. He's saying that not davka that you one who gives their life for Hashem, that's one thing, but that other concept, that a person who's constantly prepared to give their life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, putting their life in everything.
Or aspects of their life. Could that be also?
Well, that's getting there. And that's part of it.
I mean, that's a part of it. I mean, you weren't most of your whole nefesh.
Right. Yeah. It's on the way. What I'm talking about is a person who is a great person, who in everything that they do, they put their complete nefesh into it. Not just in certain things that they do. That's what I mean, that it's on the way. So for that person, he says, their complete willingness to be Moser Nefesh in everything, then Teva for them becomes less important, it becomes secondary, and they awaken Nisa Yitzias Mitzrayim, that class of miracles, which is a type of miracle that overrode Teva. That's a Mitzias which is over and above Teva, that any Jew, he's saying, has the ability to be Ma'orir if they're able to live at that level of Mesiris Nefesh. It's a level of great
sadiqah. I think that's sort of like what the Mishnah says when it says one who takes on the old Torah is...
Ma'abir m'men m'en older acheretz?
Right. I mean, some of the Mephorshim explained the older acheretz is just the normal way of operating in the world where you have to rely on your own efforts in the world. But if you take on the Torah, which includes being kadosh, which means being Moser Nefesh for the things that God commands, then the things that provide for you to the people who still have the old Eric Eretz look like miracles.
Right, that also occurs in degrees too, because he had Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his Chevra who lived like that, and the Gemara says Ol Sabiyada. And then you have Rabbi Yishmael, who worked a couple hours and then learned the rest of the day, and said many people tried to do like Rabbi Shimon and didn't work because they were not on that Madrega. You know, and many people like to do like Rabbi Yishmael and Ol Sabiyada. And even that would be quite a level to be able to work a few hours a day and learn the rest. You know, that'd be pretty good.
The Gemara has a similar idea in Mezer Chesed on Pirkei Avos when he says Hayom Katzer, when the Mishnah says Hayom, the day is short, and he says his comment is V'yesh Yom Aruch, and there's a long day, and that's he says, and that's the Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. He says V'apolim Eitzalim, the workers are lazy. He says those are our limbs. And he says, and when all the workers are doing a mitzvah, be united in doing a mitzvah, that's like the idea of the Seiros Nefesh, and that's when the mitzvah goes, becomes part of the long day, the Yom Aruch.
It's a nice idea. Nice. Nice concept. Okay, let's take a look at one more. Let's go on to the next page, as an Indian of Sfiras HaOmer, which is also in this week's parasha. Page 174, also left column and second paragraph. The year is Tuf Resh Mem Beis, Yemei HaSfira. Right, so in Parashas Emor, the Torah mentions Moadim, and in the midst there, it talks about Usfartem Lachem Imacharas HaShabbos, you should count from after the first day of Pesach, the day of Sfira. Yemei HaSfira Niskorim Toch HaMoados. Interestingly enough, that's something very interesting, horror, that the days of Sfira are mentioned amongst the Moad Toch, very good, in the midst of the Moados, right? Why should they be mentioned? We're talking about Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. Why should we mention the Yemei HaSfira? So he says, Shehema Yamim Tovim Kamo Chol HaMoed, brought down in Sforim, that the days of Sfiras HaOmer are like Chol HaMoed, that they have Kedushas Chol HaMoed. Sheyesh Kedusha Lifneim L'Achareim, because before them you have Kedusha. What's before Sfira? Pesach. What's after Sfira? Shavuot. So you have Yom Tov closing in on both ends, just like Chol HaMoed is Yom Tov on two ends. L'Achareim Yitzias Mitzrayim, I'm sorry, Yitzias Mitzrayim Ad Kabbalas HaTorah, from Pesach until Kabbalah HaTorah, so therefore these days have Kedushas Chol HaMoed to them.
Could you go in reverse? The sort of a parallel concept we often see by the Sfira that's connected to the Zion Nikiyah.
Yes.
So I wonder if you could go corresponding and say that Chol HaMoed also has a quality like the Zion Nikiyah.
And as I said, Orchan the Kaddish says that.
The Kedusha comes down, it comes down with the beginning of the Yom Tov, and then you go through the Zion Nikiyah to be Makabo.
Do you want to say that?
Yeah. Also, isn't Shavuot also called an Atzeret?
Yes.
So it also has a connotation of a stopping of something there.
That preceded it.
Right.
Similar to Shemini Atzeres, I think. Okay. Uksiv tamimos tihyena. It says in the Torah these weeks have to be tamimos, complete. Uba midrash, emos sayhein tamimos kisha osir nitzana shomakam. When are they complete? When we fulfill God's will. So one take on it is that, you know, they're complete by counting, you know, 7 weeks. That's one way to me, you know. Davening Marav late on Shavuos night. But this is a little more challenging, right? It requires us to fulfill Retzon Hashem. That's a little more difficult to make it to Mimos. Kidisa pasuk yodeya Hashem yimei tamimim. It says God knows the days of tamimim. Kishem shehem tamimim.
That's a pasuk.
I believe so. I think. I'm not sure. Kishem shehem tamimim kach shenoseihem tamim. Just as they are pure and whole, so are their years pure and whole. That refers to tzaddikim. Kamochein koi al yomim elu. So too, that concept of tamimus, referring to being complete in fulfilling Ratzon Hashem. Just like the days of that tzaddikim spend in this world are called tamimim, because they're truly whole. These days are the same. Tamimos, dichsiv tamimos tihyena, v'nikra yemei tamimim. These days have the same capacity, the same potential to be whole, like the days of a tzaddik in complete fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem, so too the yemei hasira can for us be that same way. That's a tremendous opportunity. And then these days become remembered. There's a great focus on these days above, as it says, Yodeya Hashem, God knows. I mean, he's close to it, he's aware of it, he's paying attention to it. Lachain heim bichlal moadei Hashem. Therefore, these days of Sfira are contained within the Moadim. Vahare nikru b'pasuk shava shabasos. They're also called seven Shabbases, right? It doesn't say Shava Shavuos. It calls them Shava Shabbosos. So granted, the pshat is that the word Shabbos can sometimes mean a week. But there's a reason the Torah has to use that word, wanting to give over to them that Kedusha of Shabbos. Michlal, Shekol HaYamim Elu, Yesh Lehem Bechina Shabbosos Bitzadma. Now he's saying even more, that they have within them even a certain dimension of Shabbos. Not only Chol HaMoed, but even a certain Kedusha of Shabbos is in these days. And it's interesting because the way Sfira is referred to is Mimocharas HaShabbos. And that's one of the places where the Karaites and the Tzedukim differed from the Chachamim, because it says Mimocharas HaShabbos, you start counting Sfira. And we hold that from Torah Shabbat Peh, that refers to Pesach. And they who only followed the written Torah said it referred to Shabbos. Vayamim halalu masayin tahara. That's kind of tied into what you said, Hillel. These days are a support and a help for attaining tahara. Because there is this similarity between the 7 weeks of Sfira and the Shiva Nakim, that a woman who is a Nida counts on her way to becoming tahara. As it says, the one who wants to become Tohor, min hashamayim, they help. If a person has that ratzon and that desire, then they'll get help from heaven. V'achar yitzias mitzrayim shenasin kukatan shenolad, v'yatsanu midei sitra achra. After we left Egypt, and we're like a katan, a child who's just born, meaning we're free, we're fresh, we are rejuvenated, we've escaped the clutches of the Sitra Achra. Yesh lanu levakesh tahara. So this is the time to be mevakesh tahara. Lachein hechin lanu Hashem yisparach ela hayamim. Therefore God prepared these days for us. Dichsiv usfartem lachem. You shall count these, and the stress here is this is for you. The counting of the sphere is lachem. It's for your own benefit, for our own tahara. These days of Sfira are a gift for our own good to be able to come into the realms of Tahara. Now he takes it even further. The entire year, he says, hangs is dependent on the Kedusha and the Tahara of these days. That's how important it is. Kemoshe Gidol Kol HaTavuos B'yamim Elu, just like all the wheat grows during this time between Pesach and Shavuos, classically speaking, Kein Chiyus HaAdam Miskalat, so too the life, the sustenance of a human being is revealed now during Sphira. Ki HaKol Rak Remez El Hanhogo HaPrimis V'ayim B'midrash B'parshas HaOmer, because this is all a remez, a hint, an allusion to what is really happening in the inner level of all things, which he doesn't say what it is, but he says, but take a look at the Midrash on Parshas Omer. Okay.
Sure. Sure. Sure.